In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. If the ending of today's parable sounds familiar, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted, you would not be wrong. This is the same ending as we heard a few weeks back, attached to the parable of the men behaving very badly at the great dinner. The writer of Luke really appreciates Jesus' concern with humility, as are we by all means. But there is so much more to this parable that makes it quite unique. So who is Jesus addressing with this parable? And who is the Pharisee and who is the tax collector? We usually think the Pharisee as a hardliner, someone who is religiously strict, who expects everyone else to follow the letter of the law, to rise to his behavioral and ethical standards when he does not always do so himself. Basically, we think of him as a hypocrite, as Jesus sometimes points out. But in first century Palestine, this parable would have been heard very, very differently. Pharisees were scholars, respected teachers and spiritual guides to ordinary folks trying to follow the laws that applied to them and figure out how to be righteous before God. Pharisees allowed for interpretation and practice from both the Torah and the traditions of the fathers that were outside of Torah. This sometimes raised eyebrows, including those of Jesus, but their teachings spoke to the hearts of the people and were actually quite aligned with the teachings of Jesus. I was talking to our own Dr. Virginia Green the other day about the Pharisees, as one does, every day, and she observed, if it was today and we had a question about whether or not we were ritually clean after a nasty skin rash, we would Google Pharisee and a YouTube video would pop up with the Pharisee instructing us on all the finer points of ritual bathing. Too funny and oh so true. Professor and theologian Amy Jill Levine points out that what makes this particular Pharisee different is not his prayer of thanksgiving and listing of his accomplishments. That enjoys a deep tradition, as pompous as it sounds to modern ears. What is different about him is that he is over the top. He goes way, way beyond what is required of him, to the point that Jesus is actually presenting a caricature of a saintly Pharisee that the disciples and anyone listening would find amusing. Likewise, the tax collector in the temple, a collaborator with Rome and a traitor, making boatloads of money off the backs of the poor, devoid of mercy, universally hated. There is no way this guy can be justified, can be made right with God or his community. Impossible. Yet here they both are in the temple praying. The temple, a sacred place that welcomes everyone, including Gentiles. It was thought that just being in the temple brought you spiritual benefit, whether it was warranted or not. It offered a mourner's path for pilgrims who circumnavigated the temple one way as the community walked the other way, blessing them as they passed by, saying, "May the one who dwells in this house comfort you." Grace in action. Another clear understanding was that the deeds of the righteous can rub off on others, just as evil deeds, as we cannot deny, affect the whole community. First century listeners would know the Pharisee is positively impacting the tax collector. They could smell that one coming as much as they disliked it. One of the key shifts that helps us understand this parable in a different light is the interpretation of the part when Jesus says, "I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other." Just as valid an interpretation of "rather than" is "because of" or "alongside." In a stunning, bold, ridiculously impossible story, Jesus convicts, as Reverend Josh might say, he convicts his listeners, his own disciples. He brings us up short. Both the sanctimonious Pharisee and the evil tax collector will go home from holy ground justified. How is that possible? As Professor Levine points out, the minute the Pharisee points a finger at the tax collector, he, despite all his righteous deeds and good behavior, the minute he points that finger, he is trapped in the parable. And the minute we point the finger at the Pharisee, we also are trapped by the parable. If the tax collector added to his prayer and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know I am wretched and I need to change my profession, but please, please don't ask me to be like that guy over there." Well then, he too is trapped by the parable. All of us are making a judgment about the heart of the other. Jesus makes it crystal clear that that is God's purview alone. We are all forced to allow for the possibility that the tax collector could be righteous, even if it was only through the fact that he was brave enough to step on holy ground where he encountered God and the Pharisee. What was hard for them, and so very often hard for us today, is to hear and celebrate that there is enough grace for both. Like the temple, St. Cross is holy ground. What we do here and bring here is sacred. Our personal thanksgivings and honest introspection, free of excuses, are sacred. Our personal and communal confession of our wrongs, fears, and judgments of others is sacred. Our blessing of each other when we experience losses, big and small, is sacred. It is where we learn how to live vibrantly together and acknowledge that we deeply affect one another, where we strive to become beloved community. It is where we come to understand the incredible depth and abundance of God's mercy, love, and care for us as saints, or would we recognize ourselves as sinners? It is where we encounter God in each other. It is a place where grace in action is a reality. Thanks be to God. Amen.